Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the last EMP of the Lent series. My name is Cadence and I'm from Blue Pool House Church. This morning, I have the privilege of taking you through the devotional this morning. Let's go to the one app. We are on day 44. I'll just go to the opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I choose to reflect on your sacrifice today. Thank you for dying for me. You are my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we'll be watching a video that takes us through Mark 15, 21 to 32.
And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him.
Okay, let's turn to the Romans passage in the app. I'm reading from Romans 15, 23 to 33. "But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I've enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contributions for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share the spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers, to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So this morning, I'd just like to share a few of my reflections on the Mark passage. So the video we just watched was Mark 15, 21 to 32. So as we just saw in the video, that this passage details a part of the physical and verbal abuse that Christ had to go through during his crucifixion. I have to admit that whilst I've read this passage a number of times before, it isn't my go-to passage, partly because it's kind of painful to read through it. However, during this Lent term, I'm being brought back to these verses and to really take a good heart-wrenching look at the price that Jesus had to pay for my salvation. Far too often, I forget that my salvation, my new life, though it was free for me, came at a great cost to God. And I think that the reason that I forget is because I don't think that the cross is enough, that I think I need a little bit of extra grace, extra favor for things to work for me. But actually, everything that I need, the approval, the stamp of validity, is actually all already shown on the cross. So this morning, I'd like to, so as I was going through the Mark passage, I really feel like the Holy Spirit was urging me to really take a close look at each of the suffering that Christ went through in that passage and to really think about its impact and what it means for me. And I think it's very apt in this Easter time to really think about what Jesus has done. So this morning, I'd like to unpack a little bit of what Christ had suffered as shown in this Mark passage. It might be a little bit heavy for a morning devotional, but I think it's absolutely necessary to refocus our gaze back on the cross, to be reminded that the grace that we literally survive on and possibly take for granted was not cheap indeed. So let's dive in. So the first thing that stood out to me was verse 23, and it says, "And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it." This one kind of stood out for me as I thought, why didn't Jesus just take a drink? So I was looking into this. I found that according to an old tradition, basically there is a group of respected women back in the day who provide this narcotic drink to those who had to go through the crucifixion. And in order to decrease their sensitivity to the excruciating pain, they would offer this wine mixed with myrrh to them. However, Jesus decided to not take any anesthetic, that all his faculties must be unclouded for what lay before him. Jesus was prepared to endure the full extent of the punishment which is necessary in order for our sins to be atoned. In other words, he submitted to God the Father in complete obedience and didn't cut any corners for our sake. Even though I'm sure in that very moment as he was going through the suffering and the intense pain, it would be very tempting for him to just take a sip of that drink that would just ease his pain a little bit. In verse 25, it says, "It was the third hour when they crucified him." Romans used crucifixion as a form of torture and capital punishment that was designed to produce a slow death with maximum pain and suffering. Just how terrible this punishment is can be seen from the word excruciating, which literally means out of the cross. It is this intense physical pain that Jesus went through for us. Not only that, but the crucifixion is normally not for Romans citizens. No Roman citizen could be crucified except by direct order of Caesar. It was reserved for the worst of criminals and the lowest of classes. Yet we see in verse 27 that Jesus had two robbers crucified next to him, one on his left and one on his right. Basically, what they're saying is that he was branded to be amongst the lowest of the low, kind of sandwiched in between these two robbers, these two offenders, and he is labeled one of them, and possibly the head of them, because he was, as in the leader of these, like the worst of them, because he was located in the middle, sandwiched between these two robbers. On top of the physical abuse and being recognized as the lowest of classes, he was also verbally abused. verses 29 to 30. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Of course, the temple of God that he was referring to was his own body, which would be destroyed at the crucifixion but resurrected in 3 days. Even the religious leaders who are supposed to be his people also mocked him, saying in verse 31, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." You know, just reading this, this verse just makes me think that how much energy Jesus must, or how much self-control that he must use to prevent himself or stop himself for just coming down from the cross and just, you know, shove this all on the carpet and say, I am the Son of God and I can save myself, but I'm really doing all this for you. And how much strength that he needs to take in order for him to remain and withhold himself and, you know, just remain on the cross for us when he could easily have come down and shown his power, the power that these people who are mocking him is saying that he doesn't have. Lastly, as we see in verse 32, he didn't even get any sympathy from those who are being crucified with him. Even though normally, like when people go through a kind of suffering together or they go through something difficult together, they would usually have a sense of camaraderie, of, you know, the sense of being one. But in this case, even though these robbers are in this, these offenders are in the final hours of their lives, going through the crucifixion with Jesus, they didn't lend him any sympathy. And they even reviled him. I just cannot even begin to imagine the mental and physical stress that Jesus is going through at this moment in time. And this was just part of the physical suffering that Jesus went through, as if it's not bad enough. But later on, when we read in Mark 15:34, Jesus would go through the ultimate rejection, which is the rejection by God the Father, the only person that he was clinging onto in this whole ordeal. As I was meditating on these verses, I realized that Jesus had to go through so many layers of suffering, the physical, the being branded for the lowest of the low, the status, saying that you're way inferior than a normal person, the emotional stress, and the separation from God the Father. And I asked myself, what did he do to deserve such a tortuous punishment? And the answer, of course, is nothing but for our sins. I was extremely humbled by and convicted to repent for all the times that I took grace cheaply and thought that what Christ has done on the cross wasn't good enough. Whilst I ponder the suffering of Christ, I realize how much I'm loved, that no one has ever and will ever make this kind of sacrifice for me or for you in this way. So brothers and sisters, if the enemy is telling you otherwise, undermining your identity in Christ, telling you that you are less than, that you're unloved, that the cross isn't enough, that you need a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that to prove your worth, well, there's no greater proof of your worth and value than what's been shown on the cross here. Even though I've read this passage many times previously, I'm once again overwhelmed by his relentless and sacrificial love. So this morning, as I invite Samuel to lead us in the time of worship. This morning, let the Holy Spirit remind you of what Christ has done for you and me on the cross. Let's give thanks and praise him for his obedience. If you're not feeling anything this morning, because you might be numb to the newest preaching of these verses over the years, just be still. Ask the Holy Spirit to still your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to allow these verses to impact you and wash over you. Let's seek the Lord this morning.
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus died and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name at break of dawn. The Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. The Lord our God, praises forevermore, for at last we will sing your praise, oh Lord our God. Shall return in robes of light, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will ride among the saints, my gaze resting on Jesus. Of the Lord our God, oh, praise his name forevermore, for endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord.
Thank you. So let's move on to the community prayer and lift up our church body this morning. Let's lift up those who are going through cancer, chemo, radiation, and therapy. Let's pray for covering over them, for the Lord to really heal their bodies, for the bodies to respond well to the medication, and let's press in for wholesome. Next, let's lift up those who are going through illness but really needs salvation as well. Let's pray that the Lord will open up their hearts, that their hearts will be soft, will be like soft soil, and for angels to come and minister to them, to send people around them to preach the gospel to them. Let's look at those in our community who are suffering through various infirmities, for the Lord to cover them, for the Lord to pray for healing. And as they go through this long suffering, Father God, that they would have the perseverance and the hope that they continue to go on to Jesus in this time. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs, for God to open up doors for them, to make the right connections, and during this time, in this time of waiting, that they'll make themselves useful. The Lord will speak with them and help them to position themselves in the best way possible to receive the next job opportunity. Let's turn to a mission focus this morning. Let's lift up SPSG, PSM Kim, in Indonesia, Salamat, Philippines, Phil, Pastor Ernie. Let's pray for these church plants, for the Lord to cover them, for the Lord to protect their lead pastor's family, and for protection over the congregation during this time in COVID, that they will use creative ways to connect and meet with each other. Thank you. heads of our education ministries, SP Kids, Pastor Mary Lisa, SPU, Pastor Donald, SPU, Pastor Andrew. Let's pray for the Lord's leading and guidance to how they conduct themselves as church starts to reopen again, for wisdom, Lord God, and also as these groups come together, that they will really bond with each other, the Holy Spirit will really be with them in their fellowships. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries. In IP for Matt, for the well, Sarah, and for the river, Rachel. Let's really pray that they will continue to have this passion to pray for people, to reach out to them through prayer, that they will not lose steam, and for the Lord's protection over these ministries, and that the Lord will use these ministries mightily to reach out to his lost people. Let's lift up our evening outreach ministries, SP Lights and Homies Outreach, as the restrictions on gathering ease up. Let's lift up the leaders of these ministries for creative ways as they slowly transition back into a physical outreach, and for volunteers to come forth, and also that the minister is really blessed by these ministries. Lastly, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's praise God for the continuously low number of cases, for the vaccinations to have come here and be made available to us. And also, let's also lift up that the Lord will continue to uplift us. And let's also lift up those who are especially hit hard by the COVID situation, those who lost jobs, those who need provision. Let's really lift them up and pray that the churches will be mobilized to serve these people. Okay, let's turn back to the app, and I'll just close with this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for churches in our city and around the world this Easter season. Give us a fresh understanding of your sacrifice and price you paid so that our sins may be forgiven. Help us to stretch out our arms in love this Easter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for following along on this Lent series. Have a blessed day and a good Easter. Thanks for tuning in.